चैन आए मेरे दिल को दुआ कीजिए, ओ मेरे दिल के चैन, चैन आए मेरे दिल को दुआ कीजिए।
ਸ਼ਿਕਾਲ ਜੀ ਆਇਆਂ ਨੂੰ ਆਬਾਦ ਟੂ ਦਾ ਪੋਲ ਸ਼ੋ। ਮੈਂ ਤੁਹਾਡਾ ਆਪਣਾ ਸੰਜੀਵ ਪੋਲ ਤੇ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਸੁਣ ਰਹੇ ਹੋ ਸੀ ਜੇ ਲੋ 1690 AM। ਤੇ ਅੱਜ ਦੇ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਪਤਾ ਨਾਲ ਗੱਲ ਕਰ ਲੈਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਕਿ ਇੰਡੀਆ ਜਸਟ ਬੀਟ ਵੈਸਟ ਇੰਡੀਜ਼ ਬਾਈ 8 ਰਨਸ ਇਨ ਦਾ ਸੈਕਿੰਡ ਓਡੀਆ ਐਂਡ ਵਨ ਦਾ ਓਡੀਆ ਸੀਰੀਜ਼ ਐਂਡ ਐਸ ਵੈਲ ਐਸ ਦਾ T20 ਸੀਰੀਜ਼। ਸੋ ਵੀ ਗੋਇੰ ਟੂ ਜਸਟ ਸਟਾਪ ਇਟ ਦੇਅਰ ਐਂਡ ਨਾਓ ਵੀ ਗੋਇੰ ਟੂ ਗੋ ਬੈਕ ਟੂ ਆਰ ਮੇਨ ਪਾਰਟ ਆਫ ਦਾ ਸ਼ੋ ਵਿਚ ਇਜ਼ ਦਾ ਟੈਕਨੀਕਲ ਪਾਰਟ। And today we have an undergraduate student from Concordia University who has been here in Concordia for so long that it seems like eternal time. So, and she has been one of the first few friends that I made in Montreal when I was coming there. So, taking no further time, it's time to introduce to you Farah Mutahara from Concordia. Welcome, Farah. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. How are you?
I'm really doing good. Thank you so much for taking your time and coming here. And before we start, why don't you tell us something about you so that the listeners can understand why you are here and what you want to share with us?
All right. So I'm Farah Mutahara. I am from Bangladesh, but I grew up back in UAE. And I'm currently doing my bachelor's in computer science, majoring in information system. And I met Sanjeev through the International Student Office, where I work as the student engagement and volunteer coordinator. So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Yeah. So Farah is one of the few members of my ISO family. So I'm trying to introduce you guys to them, as they have been a perfect role model in terms of every aspect in my life so far in Montreal. And so Farah, you tell me that you are from Dubai as well as from Bangladesh. Which one do you consider yourself as the home?
To be honest, as I haven't gone to Bangladesh as often, I think I went, like, I was born and then 2000, 2002, and 2010 was the only time I visited. So pretty much, yes, I would consider UAE, Abu Dhabi as my home. Mm-hmm. But I do have a lot of, like, the whole, you know, Bangladeshi culture into me, like the food, maybe not too much about the talking and everything. I'm still working on that. But yeah, I think I kind of get it. And I started listening to Bangla music after coming to Montreal because I did join one of the best associations, the Bangladeshi Students Association, back mm-hmm. in 2019. Yeah, so I was VP Finance there. So there, not only I learned about our culture, traditions, everything, it just, you know, there was like an installation of my whole culture inside me. So
yeah,
that was much great. So now if anyone asks me, I'm gonna say a mixture of, you know, being, you know, having Bangladesh as well as, you know, Abu Dhabi as well.
100%. So I have one of my colleagues where I'm working at my workplace. She's from Bangladesh, and I just asked her, like, hey, do you know how to make biryani? She said yes, obviously. So what about you? Do you know how to make biryani, or are you still in the process of learning it?
Oh no, I do know how to make biryani. This is a bit of, like, you know, a heated topic, but I enjoy making Pakistani biryani. Maybe I just like the taste of it better because that's mm-hmm. what I grew up with mostly. And Bangladeshi biryani is nice, but then I'll go for Pakistani biryani mostly. So
what's
I do know how to
make them? What's the difference between them?
I think what we do in a like a Bangladeshi biryani is, like, we cook the chicken, we cook the rice, and we just mix them together. Whereas, you know, the Pakistani biryani, you have the different colors, and then we oh yeah, I mean, both of them, I add potatoes personally. I know this is like a heated convo as well regarding, like,
yeah,
aloo or no aloo in it. Yeah, so I think the color, the kirwa water, the rose mm-hmm. water, aloo bokra, all those things. So yeah, those make the difference. So I like the Pakistani biryani better.
I think whatever brings much more spice into it, I will prefer that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So coming back to the topic, so how did you end up choosing Bachelor's of Computer Science? Even that from a country that is seven oceans away from your home.
Right, how did I choose computer science? So I did see a lot of my family friends. I think back in the UAE, it was very popular going through chemical engineering or going through the Petroleum Institute. But then I saw that the job market wasn't the best there. And then I thought, okay, what if I try, you know, computer science? Because it's a combination of a few things. And the fact why Concordia was a clear choice for me in that case was because they were offering the specific program I told you I'm in, right? Information system. It's a combination of business school and computer science. So I was like, why not take that? And having DC parents, you know, they would want you to go into engineering doctor at that point. So I was like, I'll satisfy my friends. Plus I'll have that, you know, business side as well. So that's why I think I chose computer science in that aspect, because I don't know, engineering wasn't calling me, or I wasn't the best at math. So I'll be honest about that.
So just like every other subcontinental parents, can it be considered that you didn't want to do it and end up doing it, and now you started liking it?
I guess you could say that, because I guess, yeah, a bit of peer pressure at the point, because you would see all your friends going to, you know, engineering, mathematics and everything. And I still remember I had a friend, you know, she did, you know, science with us during high school, and then she went to a business field, and then everyone was like, oh, you changed and everything. And I didn't want that to happen in my aspect. So I was like, maybe it's calling my name. This is meant to be for me. But yes, I kind of started liking computer science at the point, not the coding part, but everything else, like the designing part, or, you know, the implementation parts, all those things, data and all those, that's what interested me into computer science as well.
So I guess you just started this topic, which I always wonder, that is of coding. And what are your views on it? Like, do you like doing it, or it's just that it's a part of computer science, so you had to do it? And how's it? How has it helped you, or it hasn't helped you anything at all?
I'll be honest. So coding isn't like my favorite thing, because I remember in high school, I took, like, during my, because I was in a British curriculum school, I took it in IGCSE, and after that, I haven't seen, you know, IT's face. And then when I came here, we had to start with Java. Mm-hmm. I did not like, you know, how, you know, they were teaching and everything. And maybe personally, then I realized, oh my God, I don't like coding and everything. And then I started taking, you know, different subjects, you know, because we have electives. So I started taking different electives just to see my boundaries and everything, just to see, oh, okay, do I like data or do I like database or do I like designing and all those things. So then I realized coding wasn't meant for me, but I do have to agree that most places do need coding. So it's very, you know, it's essential, I would say, at this point, to have like a coding idea at the back of your brain, at least like for like not only computer science. Like I've seen like people who are in other engineering degrees, they know how to code at this point because they need it.
True, 100%. So just to give some power to this point, what I have heard or listened to the friends who are doing interviews for the companies, they always say that have the knowledge of all the languages, but keep one as the main primary language. So if you know about Java, learn about it. There are sort of questions like linked list, double linked list, some this kind of stuff. I don't like it. I just hate the black screen, white screen, just keep typing and stuff. But the only thing that I like about coding is debugging. I can stay there debugging because I can just open Stack Overflow and just, oh yeah, you have it. So
that's where you made a mistake, that piece of code, that one bracket or something, you semicolon something for the other out.
So in terms of security, it's not a good practice to use the old code and just copy paste from other sites. But yeah, that's what we use so that we just can just fulfill our assignments. So that wraps up our first part of introduction of how Farah got into computer science. Now, after this break, we're going to ask her about her experience and how what is she doing right now and stuff. So stay tuned at CGLO 1690 AM. And this is Paul Show. So welcome back to the Paul Show. So we are having an interview with Farah Mutahara, who has been pursuing her bachelor's in computer science. So yeah, so Farah, how has your experience been in this university regarding your studies and stuff?
Regarding studies, they've been pretty good till, you know, pandemic hit. We've been doing it online, so pretty much how you said, like we would use, you know, before like Stack Flow and all the other resources to do coding at that point. So it's been very different. And I don't think so, like a lot of people could say like they've done online and in-person classes. So far it's been pretty decent. And especially coming to, you know, volunteering, luckily, you know, before pandemic hit, I was able to volunteer as well in person. So it's been very, very nice, you know, the social aspect, the networking, boosting up my confidence at that point, me able to communicate, you know, being a social butterfly everywhere, as well as able to join our association, as I mentioned, the Bangladeshi Student Association. That's been great, as well as been part of another association, the Troitsky 2021. That's been amazing. It's just weird how everything had to be online, how we had to carry out the event online. So it's been a nice exposure. And then regarding to maybe internship, having, you know, a remote internship was an eye-opening experience as well. So pretty much Concordia has given a lot of different experience to me throughout these last few years.
It has, certainly has. So as you have gone through the in-person classes as well as remote classes, which one do you prefer for your learning?
For learning, I think I like in person personally, because, you know, you're able to meet people from your class and then you're able to talk to the professor. I honestly, till today, it's been very like a hit or miss for me to able to communicate with the professor in Zoom and everything, because they're busy, they've been occupied or something. So not good experience. And I mean, the learning through in person, let's say you have a doubt or something, like you can just ask the person next to you, oh, what is this or something. Like in Zoom, you can't really do that. So yeah, I kind of missed the in person, but regarding to exam, I kind of like some of the exams being like, take home, you have a day to do it, or it's like not proctored, so you're able to use your notes and everything. So it's in a way, I kind of like online exams. So in person class, online exam. Sorry, in-person class, online exams. Yeah, right.
So that's a personal preference of mine as well. But as I'm doing my master's, so for me, it's more like I want to utilize my time on other stuff rather than going into in-person classes. That's my personal preference, that I want to keep it online. But yeah, there are some chances to meet some new people, grow your network, learn some new stuff. So in terms of that aspect, go for in-person classes. But for me, I'll just give the exams online. That's just me.
Yeah. So we're both on the same page then.
100%. Yeah. So what do you think about the curriculum that you have gone through in Concordia University? Do you like the structure of their courses, or is it just outdated?
So I guess I'm okay, because I understand the first year you have like a lot of prerequisite courses, you can't do anything about that. But I am very happy that regarding to electives, that we had so many variety of choices, especially for me, because I had, you know, to take business courses as well. So I was like able to take a lot of them, and it's like no restrictions, no nothing. So kind of like it. Like, I understand, like, they need us to do a certain foundation just for us to, you know, have that in order to build on that. So pretty much at first I would cry about it. I'm like, why do we have discrete mathematics? Why do we have data structure? Like, what are those? Like, painful courses. But now I understand why we have them. So can't say I hate them, but I understand why they exist there.
Yeah, it is. So as I already told in the previous part, that you have been a part of the International Student Organization for, like, I don't know, three years?
I was there 4 years, 2018.
Wow. So how did you end up there? Like, who told you that this is the organization that I should work with, maybe volunteer with? How did you get this awakening?
I guess, so when I first came here, like in 2017, right, like during my, you know, we have to like scan all our documents, remember that one point, do the permanent code form, get all our things together. So I saw one of the volunteers there, and I remember how friendly she was and everything. And I'm like, I want to be her. And I remember I was kind of like, I kind of became reserved at that point. I was like, I don't want to plan everything. And then I think my dad, he kept telling me you should volunteer. So I was like, okay, I'll just sign up for some volunteering places at the university. And then I also sent an email saying that, you know, the WISE and the whole, you know, when new students come in, they need volunteers. So I was like, sure, I'll sign up. And from there, I realized like I was meant to volunteer and everything. And I had a lot of students. So that was nice from different parts of countries. And then, yeah, that's how I think I volunteered like for 1 year straight. Yeah, during the fall semesters mostly. So got exposed to like 1,100 students a day screaming my voice out, having a sore throat after that. But yeah, so kind of got my passion from there for volunteering, I would say. And then if you ask me how did I end up in my current position, luckily, Delphine, she is like the coordinator, you know, who sends the emails for our bulletins and everything. So she contacted me, and back then Duane was also like I took her position technically, or yeah. So she contacted me, she's like, you should apply for it. And I was like, I'm not sure, you know, there's a lot of, you know, responsibilities and everything. But I remember Lena, I mean, she came on your last broadcast. So I remember seeing her because we joined volunteering together. So I saw her and I was like, oh my God, you know, this position looks cool. So when, again, the opportunity was given for the second time, I was like, no way, I'm going to decline this offer. So from, I believe it was winter 2020. Yeah, I joined as the ISO, you know, volunteer and engagement coordinator. Yeah.
So how do you feel about it? Like, in some time, maybe you have to leave this position. There are some new recruitments for this position. What's your guts, and do you feel sad? Do you feel happy, or what's your mind?
So honestly, it's bittersweet in a way. Like, bitter, obviously, you know, we've worked through it like for 2 years on it. Like, and you can understand. So I joined in winter 2020. So it's like January, February was in person, and then everything became online. So Lena and I had to come up with things from scratch, trial errors. You know, it's pretty much like my baby. I have to give it to someone. Yeah. It's maybe it's a bit bitter, but like the sweet part is that we're going to see how, you know, you know, the new students, how they're gonna, you know, take it up a notch and everything at that point. So kind of excited to see that. And I guess the responsibility, you know, that burden on your head is gonna go on someone else at one point. So I'm like, oh, okay, I don't have to worry about that at one point. But obviously I love planning events and hosting them and everything.
Yeah, so this is like the normal part. Now we're going to talk about your internship. How did you get into your internship part? Who told you that this position is open and stuff? Like, how did you get that information?
Okay, so for internship, so I did enroll to the program INEX. So it's like industrial experience you get. So it's like how you have co-op, you have to do 3 semesters, let's say 1 year of work experience. Here you do only 1 semester of work experience. But that hit during COVID as well, because I remember winter 2020 was the time I have to give the interviews to secure a job for the summer. But because of COVID, we couldn't do that. And I had to push my work term twice, because one was due to like the whole study permit, CAQ extension. I know a lot of international students can relate to me regarding to that. So hard to get your documents on time. And then the third time when I had to push it, I just got like 2 interview calls. And the last one I had, it was from the university itself. They called me and they said they have a position open if I'm interested. So I was like, sure, I'll try, you know, what else can go. And I gave the interview and everything, and they took me on board immediately. So honestly, it's been a pain, because you've been applying to, I would say I applied to like 300 to 400 places at that point. A lot of them, you know, wanted coding, wanted specific things. There were better people than me. So yeah, it didn't work out at some point, but I was very glad that I was able to secure my first internship at that point.
It is. So this is my phase right now. Like, I have to now start applying jobs when I'll be graduating. So you have to mentally prepare yourself for the rejections. You have to mentally prepare yourself for the acceptance. So how did you mentally prepare yourself? Like, you just said that you applied for 300 places. So yeah, tell me about it.
So it is very hard. We're not going to deny that. We're human beings. One rejection could, you know, break us down completely. But to be honest, I was, you know, going through, let's say, Reddit or some people, you know, on Facebook, like the Concordia groups, they write like they got this or that experience. So looking at that, then I realized it's fine getting rejections, not end of the world. Like, just keep on trying your best. Like, what is destined for you, you will get it. So just never give up. I know it's gonna sound really bad, like when you see the rejection email, oh, we are so, you know, unfortunate, like we can't take you and everything. So pretty much at first it was sad, but then at that point, at one point I became so neutral. I was like, okay, it's okay, I'll try to apply to somewhere else.
Yeah. So regarding your interview at the Concordia University, was it technical? Was it just HR round, or how was it?
Yeah, it was mostly like a HR, because I was able to work from the EL, like the experiential learning sector of our university. So it was mostly, you know, they would ask me technical questions, like how can I design, or how I, because my position was a web design intern, right? So they would show me the website, how could I improve that? So nothing, you know, consisted of coding. So I was like, okay, thank God about that. But some places did ask me for coding, and I wasn't really strong in that. And then you kind of realize where you actually want to be, or what type of jobs you want to apply to as well. Like, you're able to narrow it down. I don't know if it's a good thing for some people. For me, it was much easier. So whenever I see the, you know, on listings, I was like, no, no, no. Oh, yes. Okay, this looks like me, you know.
It is. So now, do you consider yourself as a web design developer, a full stack developer, or what currently are you targeting after your bachelor's?
So to be honest, after like my first, you know, internship, before that, I honestly wanted to do something with data, or actually mostly with data or marketing at that point, because I fell in love with the courses I did take. And then web design, I was like, you know, what are they supposed to do? Like, do I have to do front end and all those things? But then, you know, there are different aspects. Then I realized, oh, you have, you know, the user experiences, you have to do all those, like how to, you know, make the website better, feasible for the users, all those things. So I got exposed to that. I was like, okay, I kind of like that as well. So I kind of like got into the designing part as well. So yeah, I kind of want to go with like something with the user experience.
User interface
at that point. Yeah.
So in terms of that, what's your preferred language for that? Do you use JavaScript, React.js, Node.js, or?
We didn't use any languages for that internship. We had to use AEM? So it's Adobe Enterprise Management. They had their own language developed at that point. So you just do the designing aspect. But honestly, now that, I realized, okay, not all places are going to have that. Like in my brain, I was like, oh, shoot, I have to do, work on my HTML, CSS, and then JavaScript, as you mentioned. So I'll have to, go through this again because they are, related at that point. So, yeah.
So for me, I personally don't know how to do it. I just know the basics of HTML and CSS, but I'm trying to learn it. But since I'm not targeting or pursuing those roles, that's not for me. But for you, like, do you have any target or quarterly goal or short-term goal that this is the language that I want to use if I have to go in that line, or you are just, no, I'm not interested in that at all?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I guess what happens, I realize, is when I have to do something, I will have to push my limits to learn that thing. So let's say even now I'm telling you I want to learn JavaScript. I'm like, okay, till I don't get pressure or the deadline to learn JavaScript, I might not learn that. Or if it's not required for the job, I might not learn that for now because I have other things going on in my head. But let's say if I get bored one day and I'm like, okay, maybe I can start learning JavaScript. Maybe I will do that, honestly. But till it's not required, I'm not going to even go near any programming language or anything related to it.
Well, that's okay. It's up to you. And for me as well, I'm personally going for cybersecurity, so I'm pursuing that hardly, and let's see how it goes. But coming back to the topic of internship, as you said, you were doing it remotely. What was your experience regarding that, doing it remotely?
So doing it remotely was kind of like sad, I'll be honest, because you're on your own desk, for me, I was like, oh, I wanted a new environment, meet people. But to be honest, Alice, she was my supervisor during my internship, so she tried to always make it as fun as she could. We would have games and everything, with our teams, and then she would always be like with me on calls because I was so hesitant. I was like, should I call her? Should I disturb her? I don't know what to do. So yeah, it was pretty nice having it online in that aspect, and as well as I would say I was very flexible with my schedule. I think I should thank Alice for that, because I know that she worked in the morning, but I told her, is it possible I can work at night? My brain works better at night, and I can report to you what all the changes I did and everything. So that, yeah, nice in a way. I would say that having it online, but bad side is you're not that organized. You just roll out of bed. You don't get prepared and everything. You're like in your pajamas. Who cares? And all attitude and at the mind.
So when you were doing internship, were you provided any goodies, any like computer, PC and stuff from the university?
So they made it very clear when I was applying for the job, you'll have to use your own laptop. So I was like, okay, bummer. And then regarding to goodies, yes, Alice was very, very sweet that she got us like our bottles, our drinks and everything for the party, snacks and everything. And I got to meet her, cute doggy as well. So yeah, that was pretty nice seeing her in person, like for that short time and able to get the goodies, but nothing regarding to like awesome PCs or anything like that.
That's a bummer. Because I was like, in my mind, I have this perception that when I'm going to have a job, I will have two
PCs, screens,
then a good gaming CPU. Maybe when I'm going to be done with my internship or the job, then I'll just start playing games. But that's not how it goes with the university or the computers or PCs that I'm going to be given to you. So that's that. And how are you finding the transition of having that internship being in person?
Oh, so now if you talk about the second internship I have right now, right, the IT intern, the commuting is a pain in winter. I am not going to lie. I hate how I have to prepare beforehand because I'm like, oh, what if I miss the bus at that time? Or what if the metro stop, which happens so often. So I don't like the commuting time because it does take me a good like 45 minutes to go. But then once I'm in the office, it's kind of nice seeing everyone at the office. Having, how you were describing the two PCs, the awesome laptop and everything. Yeah. And my God, I'm not gonna lie, I love our kitchen because like the food and everything is so good there. So kind of nice of that. And plus I'm able to work with another intern as well. So it's been nice as well.
Mm-hmm. So has your previous internship helped you in this one?
This one? So I don't think that they're like correlated because this one is more technical. So I'm like IT support. So anyone has any issues with the computers, anything. So I kind of deal with their software issues, like their fans mm-hmm. are running high, it's overheating. I do my best to, you know, fix that. And if I have to do the hardwares, like I'll go down, see the computers and everything. Our projects were that when I came into it was hot desk, and so we've been setting up PCs and everything, making sure whoever's coming, the new interns, like, or new people who are joining the company, everything is ready for them, as well as like onboarding, offboarding processes. You don't realize it's just not a computer, it's like, you know, their whole portal and everything. You want to make sure it's not like, you know, exposed to the whole world and everything. So there's a lot of things I've been learning like this last 2 weeks, but it's been amazing. But to be honest, I guess that if I had to relate something between them, I would say the first internship allowed me to, you know, ask more questions, not being like hesitant about that, because I can understand a lot of people would be like, oh shit, is this a stupid question or anything? I don't care at this point if it's a stupid question, but it's gonna bother me, or I will not get my task done, and then it will be a problem. So kind of helped me for the second internship at this point right now.
Yes, I feel so, but I have this one question that was like in my mind, and you just brought up the topic of commuting. So I know that you have the driving license. When are you going to get the car? That's going to make your life easier, maybe go for some hiking, trekking, just have a weekend off. What's your plan regarding that?
You're just like my friends behind me with the car question. But I'll be honest, if I have to, you know, calculate everything right now, mm-hmm. because the class is taking me $90 right now, because I'm not able to get the student one as I'm a part-time student. Yeah. So to get an OPUS card, you need to be a full-time student, and you have to show them that. And unfortunately, I'm part-time, so I had to get the $90 one.
When did you become a part-time student? Were you always a part-time student?
No, not always, just this last year.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
That's a new information for me as well. Yeah. I didn't expect that. So, yeah. So, if you're coming to Montreal, this is one of the main tips. If you are part-time, you will not be able to get $30 to $35 off on the MetroCard. As a student, you are only going to pay $54. But on a normal day, I guess it's $94.
$94, yeah.
So, this is one. And yeah, like as a student, it's always preferred to take the public metro or anything like that, that because you do not have to pay insurance and stuff. It helps you in much more ways. So how has your life in Montreal helped you in financing? Like, you know, learning about should I be buying this, should I be not?
So regarding to that, I guess when, you know, you start earning your own money and you have to, you know, buy things for your own, you would, you know, think of it, oh, is it a good, you know, investment and all those things. But to be honest, you know me, my shopping addiction. Whenever I see a sale, all finance out of my brain to see the sale and run to that.
True. Yeah, that's the same with me. Like in the past few days, I remember the sale that I just went to Zara. Zara said, oh my God, it was so amazing. 70% off. That just made me like drool so badly for them. I just went there, just bought some stuff and came back. Well, so students, be careful about that. You can get addicted to shopping if you do not manage your finances properly. So this is the end of the second part of this today's podcast with Farah. And now we're going to take a break. Maybe you can listen to this music and see you soon in like 2 minutes or 5 minutes. So stay tuned.
Chhal uthi daryaan di, chhal uthi daryaan di, safra te put tor ke, safra te put tor ke, akh lag di na maan di. अख लगदी ना मावां दी ਰੱਖ ਦੀ ਨਾ ਮਾਵਾਂ ਦੀ ਸੂਹੇ ਰੰਗ ਦਾ ਗੁਲਾਬ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਸੂਹੇ ਰੰਗ ਦਾ ਗੁਲਾਬ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਘਰ ਵੱਲ ਰਹਿਣ ਨਜ਼ਰਾਂ ਘਰ ਵੱਲ ਰਹਿਣ ਨਜ਼ਰਾਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਚੇਤੇ ਚ ਪੰਜਾਬ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਮੇਰੇ ਚੇਤੇ ਚ ਪੰਜਾਬ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਮੇਰੇ ਚੇਤੇ ਚ ਪੰਜਾਬ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਛਾਵਾਂ ਵੰਡਦਾ ਏ ਬੋੜ ਕੋਈ ਛਾਵਾਂ ਵੰਡਦਾ ਏ ਬੋੜ ਕੋਈ ਬਾਪੂ ਤੇਰੇ ਕੋਲ ਹੁੰਦਿਆਂ ਬਾਪੂ ਤੇਰੇ ਕੋਲ ਹੁੰਦਿਆਂ ਨਾ ਜਾਪੀ ਰੱਬ ਦੀ ਵੀ ਲੋੜ ਕੋਈ ਨਾ ਜਾਪੀ ਰੱਬ ਦੀ ਵੀ ਲੋੜ ਕੋਈ ਨਾ ਜਾਪੀ ਰੱਬ ਦੀ ਵੀ ਲੋੜ ਕੋਈ
So, welcome back. I hope you guys are liking this episode with Farah and maybe learning how the internship remotely and the in-person has been and how what can you experience in that. So, Farah, I have this question, like when you're applying for jobs in Montreal, so there has always been this perception that if you do not know French, it's going to be really difficult. So, how has your experience been in that and you, as you said, you applied for like 300 jobs or 400 jobs. How many were like rejected on that aspect only?
Okay, so 300 to 400 is after, cutting off like, you knowing French or some places, let's say Bombardier or Airbus, right? So they would ask you for your study permit, but some people don't study permit, sorry, the work permit, you get from the co-op office. A lot of the students don't have that on hand at that moment, right? So they can't apply. So big amount of jobs from big companies are already out, there. So you can't do anything about that. And then regarding to the French thing, I remember they would say you need to know level 4 French and everything. And I would be like, oh shit, I don't know French. Until now, I don't know French at all. So I would still go ahead and apply for those jobs. And I actually did get an interview for that. I didn't even think of it. But the person who took my interview, she had such a hard time to communicate with me because, because she was only speaking in French itself. So it's been very, very hard. I would, suggest to students, just don't apply to Montreal if it's like an internship or anything. Like, go ahead, apply outside Montreal, Toronto, Ottawa. Maybe that will give you that time to experience a different, area, culture, and diversity. Also, yeah, but honestly, that has been such a big factor, like when they ask you no French and everything. Because in the future, let's see if anyone's applying for PR in Quebec. It's a pain to the butt. We can't deny about that because, you need a French exam and everything. So you would need to learn French if you're planning to stay in Quebec in the future, I would say.
Yeah, so I started learning French and I was level 1, but then I figured out rather than living, I'm not saying it's not important, it's important to learn French if you want to stay in Quebec, but my thinking was it would be better if I give that time to my technical aspect, which I need to be much, much more stronger. That's going to help me land a job, whether it's here, whether it's in Toronto, British Columbia, or any other place. So that was my perception. But yeah, regarding the work permit that you just said, that I guess you had the co-op, right? In co-op, you have like 30 hours.
Yeah, so that is a bit different. So what happens is when you are in a program from the university itself, let's say your degree requires you to do an internship. So the university is able to provide you, a document, and that work permit is for free. Like it's no charge, right? So you just apply for that, wait for it. And then some places ask for the study, work permit and all those things. So then you give that co-op work permit to them to show them, oh, you are eligible. You have to do like an internship for that. Like for me right now, let's say, because this job didn't require me to be like having a work, you know, permit or anything like that. They said I under study permit I could do that. So just make sure, you know, wherever anyone applies or anything, just, you know, make sure with the HR, like, do I need the work or is the study okay? Because as you know, with the study you can work 20 hours, like.
Yeah. And also one single tip for any international student that's gonna come here. The positives of working out in Korea University or on campus is that those hours do not count under your 20 hours that you are provided with the government. So go for the jobs like exam invigilator. That's what I'm doing. And those hours do not count. So that helps you. That can help you in your finances somehow. And I guess there are some other jobs as well. So regarding your ISO student coordinator job, does those hours count or they are like not countable?
So to be honest, I didn't take that whole risk because I know that like once you're like part-time student, like we're able to work 40 hours. So what I did was I was like, okay, I'll dedicate 20 hours like on campus and 20 hours off campus. God forbid if anything happens, you know, in the future, I'd like, okay, yeah, 20 hours is off campus. That's allowed. As you mentioned, like the on campus, it's fine. But just that to be on the safer side, I just combined those and took that as 40 hours, not like having, you know, because, yeah, I think it's like it depends like person to person, I believe, because they would say the last semester you're able to work full time, but then that is it's a vague way they say that there's a lot of things behind. So you would always want to make sure with the advisors of your university, how can you break the work hours or can you work this many hours at, you know, off campus, all those. So always consult them.
So this is where comes the International Students Organization of Concordia. That's going to help you in building the platform, giving you the right plan, how many hours you can do. If you have any questions, just go ask them. Farah is one of them. If you have the questions, just go on her, I guess, iso.assistant@concordia.ca. This is the email. And just go ask. Maybe she can help you and get you in contact with the advisors and stuff. So yeah, for me, as a student, right now I can only work 20 hours, but I'm not even doing that because this is too cold. I love cold, but I prefer to stay inside and just work. And I don't know how what you do, but yeah. So regarding that, the work permit, or when you're applying for jobs, they do ask you about the work permit, like, are you legally allowed to work in Canada? As a student, you are only allowed 20 hours, but when you're going to go apply, when you're going to graduate, you will have the completion letter and then you will go apply for the work permit. So on that part, you can get and maybe ask the company that, yeah, I have the applied status of the work permit and I'm eligible to work 40 hours. So some companies accept that, some companies do not accept that. And do you have this experience, Farah, or like, no?
So yeah, I guess, yeah, when I was asking, you know, regarding the postgraduate work permit, because I did hear, you know, a few things, like the moment, you know, you get your grades till the moment you apply for, you know, the postgraduate work permit, you're not eligible to work. But then after that, allowed to work. So as you mentioned, I completely agree. A lot of the companies, you know, they're hesitant. They're like, wait, the student's like on an implied status at this point. Can they actually work? So they're very hesitant about that. So maybe you could contact the university saying, yep, they are eligible to work or something like that at that point. So to show the workplace. But as you mentioned, a lot of the places, they would be okay with it. They're like, okay, you're in implied status. You can still continue with their job. Like maybe you could ask, let's say you're currently working somewhere and you're like, hey, I have to apply for that. So like 1 week, maybe I can't work because I have to get all my documents, everything to apply. And then, yeah, so I've seen mixed places because the place where I was doing my, like now I'm doing my internship, they were a little like hesitant of taking me on board and everything back then. And then the other job I had as in the call center, like as a technical support at Vosker, they were like, oh no, okay, we would take you out like till you get your implied status and then we'll put you back on the schedule again. So mixed reviews.
It is. So you've been technical support as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are a lot of jobs in technical support. So for that, I guess you need to have proper information of the OSI model and the TCP/IP model, or it's just like, no, you just need to know the concepts.
Okay, so for me, it was a very different one because at Vosker, where I was working, it's for spy point cameras. So they're hunting cameras. So it's mostly like troubleshooting the cameras, why the cameras don't work, getting the latest firmware updates. So as you mentioned, we didn't have that many technical things applied to it. It's just pretty much whatever we have on our knowledge base, just follow that and you're good to go from there.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. So, but yeah, for the students, if you are going for any technical support job, that comes under, I guess, Not B of
yes.
the government jobs. Yeah. Exactly. So Not B helps you in your points that are going to be considered in the CRC or the CRC. It is CRC score. Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe I guess you have some information about that.
So I, as you mentioned before, so a lot of the people I know, they after they go, obviously they're trying to get their field of job, but in the meantime they're working as a technical support as level B job, and they are trying to collect that 1 year. Like for us, I'm not sure if it's the same for graduate, undergrad, but as I'm aware, like. Work technically so 1560 hours in order to apply for, you know, PR at that point. So this job count for it. Yeah.
Okay. I guess it's the same because for us, I don't know how it goes in Montreal, Quebec. Maybe they ask for 2 years in, but other provinces like Ontario, British Columbia, if you have worked like for 1 year, you are eligible to apply for the PR. So that's one of the information, but again, we are not the experts that are giving you the right words. It's just our suggestion and what our experiences has been. So this is it. And it has been amazing talking to you, Freya, Farah. And I hope you liked it.
And oh, thank you so much. I was hoping, I was like, when will Sanjeev call me on a show and everything? So I'm so excited that I was able to come in today.
No, it's my pleasure. It's actually a learning path for me as well, how people get into their jobs and stuff. Oh, by the way, the job. One last question regarding the HR round.
Yeah.
What did you tell? What was your weakness?
Oh, when it comes to weaknesses, I'm able to splurge that. It's just that I have a hard time when they ask me about, like, you know, what I'm good at. Okay, so what I'm bad at, I would say time management. I would say, to be honest, how I did remotely, like, I was like, oh, okay, I have my time and everything. Mm-hmm. And I guess what else could be my weakness? Yeah. At first internship, not able to communicate properly, I would say. Mm-hmm. And I guess those things. Yeah. But, you know, once you start doing internship jobs, everything, all these weaknesses do become your strength at one point. So right now, if you ask me, I can't explain that much. But yeah. If you ask me, like, before my internship, my other jobs and everything, I could list them completely. Yeah.
That sums up some the time, and it's always a consideration that you do not give your strength as your weakness. So
yeah,
keep your both the aspects ready for those kind of interview questions. And yeah, that's it for today's episode. I hope you guys liked the story of from an international student to an intern in IT. So I hope you liked it, and I'll see you next week with a latest episode of NFTs, and Gurmanik will be back and we will talk about some sports as well. So this is it for this week, and see you soon, Farah. And this Bye. Is it for Pat. So ciao, and stay tuned to the CJ Law 1690 AM.
It's JB.
ਤੁਰ ਦੀਏ ਜਦੋਂ ਥੋੜਾ ਹੋਰ ਬੋਲਦੇ ਪਹੁੰਚੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਝਾਂਜਰਾਂ ਦੇ ਬੋਰ ਬੋਲਦੇ ਅਜੇ ਤੱਕ ਨੈਣ ਛਿੱਲੇ ਛਿੱਲੇ ਵੇਖ ਲੈ ਤਾਰਿਆਂ ਜੀ ਜੁੱਤੀ ਉੱਤੇ ਥੱਲੇ ਵੇਖ ਲੈ ਫਿੱਕੇ ਜੇ ਫਰੋਸ਼ ਕਿੱਥੋਂ ਆਉਂਦੇ ਹੋਏ ਆ ਵਾਲਾਂ ਵਿੱਚ ਉਲਝੇ ਪਰਾਂਦੇ ਹੋਏ ਆ ਸਭ ਕੁੱਝ ਚੇਤੇ ਹਰ ਗੱਲ ਗੋਲੀ ਨੀ ਕਦੋਂ ਕਦੋਂ ਤੇਜ ਕਦੋਂ ਤੁਰੇ ਹੌਲੀ ਨੀ ਦੇਖ ਲਿਆ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਬੜਾ ਜੀ ਪਰ ਕੇ ਰਹਿ ਗਈਆਂ ਨੇ ਬਸ ਇਕਲਾਵਾਂ ਸੁਣੀਏ ਐਵੇਂ ਤਾਂ ਨੀ ਤੇਰੇ ਕੋਲੇ ਆਵਾਂ ਸੁਣੀਏ ਸੱਥ ਸੁਣ ਤੇਰਾ ਪਰਛਾਵਾਂ ਸੁਣੀਏ ਐਵੇਂ ਤਾਂ ਨੀ ਤੇਰੇ ਕੋਲੇ ਆਵਾਂ ਸੁਣੀਏ ਸੱਥ ਸੁਣ ਤੇਰਾ ਪਰਛਾਵਾਂ ਸੁਣੀਏ ਵੇਖਦੇ ਹੀ ਸਾਰੇ ਚਾਰੇ ਬੰਨੇ ਹੋਣਗੇ ਖੁੱਲੇ ਵਾਲ ਜਦੋਂ ਨੀ ਤੂੰ ਬੰਨੇ ਹੋਣਗੇ ਮੇਰੀ ਆ ਪਸੰਦ ਭਾਵੇਂ ਆਮ ਜਾਏ ਸੂਟ ਸਿਰ ਮਈ ਟਲੀ ਸ਼ਾਮ ਜਾਏ ਮੇਰੇ ਮੂਹਰੇ ਭਾਵੇਂ ਨਜ਼ਰਾਂ ਨੀ ਚੱਕਦੀ ਅੱਖ ਦਿਲ ਦੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਰੱਖ ਦੀ ਐਤਵਾਰ ਵਾਂਗੂ ਨੋਟਿਸ ਚ ਪੱਕੀਆਂ ਉਹ ਵੀ ਗੱਲਾਂ ਚਿੱਤੇ ਜੋ ਤੂੰ ਵਿੱਚੇ ਕੱਟੀਆਂ ਗਿਫਟੀ ਦੇ ਗੀਤ ਵਰਗੀ ਲਿਖਾਂ ਤੇਰੇ ਬਾਰੇ ਕੀ ਮੈਂ ਗਾਵਾਂ ਸੁਣੀਏ ਐਵੇਂ ਤਾਂ ਨੀ ਤੇਰੇ ਕੋਲੇ ਆਵਾਂ ਸੁਣੀਏ ਸੱਥ ਸੋਹਣਾ ਤੇਰਾ ਪਰਛਾਵਾਂ ਸੁਣੀਏ ਐਵੇਂ ਤਾਂ ਨੀ ਤੇਰੇ ਕੋਲੇ ਆਵਾਂ ਸੁਣੀਏ ਸੱਥ ਸੋਹਣਾ ਤੇਰਾ ਪਰਛਾਵਾਂ ਸੁਣੀਏ ਸਾਰੀ ਗੱਲ ਤੇਰੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਛੱਡੀ ਦੇਖ ਲੈ ਹੀਲੀ ਉੱਤੇ ਟਿੱਕੀ ਜਿਵੇਂ ਅੱਡੀ ਵੇਖ ਲੈ ਜੁਗਨੂ ਹਾਂ ਜਹੀ ਤੇਰੀ ਚਾਲ ਲੱਗਦੀ ਤੇਰੀ ਹਰ ਅਦਾ ਵਾ ਕਮਾਲ ਲੱਗਦੀ ਜਦੋਂ ਮੈਂ ਤੇਰੇ ਕੋਲ ਟੁੱਟ ਕੇ ਪਲਕਾਂ ਦੀਆਂ ਤੂੰ ਕਰੀ ਛਾਵਾਂ ਸੋਹਣੀਏ ਐਵੇਂ ਤਾਂ ਨੀ ਤੇਰੇ ਕੋਲੇ ਆਵਾਂ ਸੋਹਣੀਏ ਸੱਥ ਸੋਹਣਾ ਤੇਰਾ ਪਰਛਾਵਾਂ ਸੋਹਣੀਏ ਐਵੇਂ ਤਾਂ ਨੀ ਤੇਰੇ ਕੋਲੇ ਆਵਾਂ ਸੋਹਣੀਏ ਸੱਥ ਸੋਹਣਾ ਤੇਰਾ ਪਰਛਾਵਾਂ ਸੋਹਣੀਏ
ਮੈਂ ਅੱਜ ਤੋਂ ਹੋਇਆ ਹਾਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਕੰਨ ਸੁਣਨਾ ਚਾਹੁੰਦੇ ਨਾ ਤੇਰਾ ਮੈਂ ਅੱਜ ਤੋਂ ਹੋਇਆ ਹਾਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਕੰਨ ਸੁਣਨਾ ਚਾਹੁੰਦੇ ਨਾ ਤੇਰਾ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਸੁਪਨੇ ਆਉਂਦੇ ਨੇ ਨੀ ਮੈਂ ਚੜਿਆ ਫਿਰਦਾ ਘੋੜੀ ਤੇਰੀ ਮੇਰੀ ਬਟਣਾ ਦੀ ਜੋੜੀ ਤੇਰੀ ਮੇਰੀ ਅੜੀਏ ਨੀ ਗੂਠੇ ਚ ਬਟਣਾ ਦੀ ਜੋੜੀ ਤੇਰੀ ਮੇਰੀ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਸੌਂ ਤੇਰੀ ਨੀ ਕਦੇ ਨਾ ਫੁੱਲੂੰਗਾ ਮੁੱਖ ਤੇਰਾ ਤੂੰ ਮਹਿੰਦੀ ਨਾ ਲਿਖ ਲਈ ਸੋਹਣੀਏ ਨਾ ਵੀਣੀ ਤੇ ਮੇਰਾ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਸੌਂ ਤੇਰੀ ਨੀ ਕਦੇ ਨਾ ਫੁੱਲੂੰਗਾ ਮੁੱਖ ਤੇਰਾ ਤੂੰ ਮਹਿੰਦੀ ਨਾ ਲਿਖ ਲਈ ਸੋਹਣੀਏ ਨਾ ਵੀਣੀ ਤੇ ਮੇਰਾ ਤੂੰ ਨਾ ਵੀਣੀ ਤੇ ਮੇਰਾ ਚਾਹੀਦਾ ਕੁਝ ਵੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਬਸ ਤੂੰ ਦਿਲ ਮੇਰਾ ਨਾ ਤੋੜੀ ਤੇਰੀ ਮੇਰੀ ਅੜੀਏ ਨੀ ਲੱਖੂ ਚਿੱਚ ਵਟਣਾ ਦੀ ਜੋੜੀ ਤੇਰੀ ਮੇਰੀ ਅੜੀਏ ਨੀ ਇਸ਼ਕ ਦੀਆਂ ਜੋ ਬਾਤਾਂ ਫਿਰ ਹੱਸ ਕੇ ਲੰਘਣਗੀਆਂ ਸੋਹਣੀਏ ਲੰਮੀਆਂ ਲੰਮੀਆਂ ਰਾਤਾਂ ਬੈਠੀਆਂ ਪਾਵਾਂਗੇ ਹੁੰਦੀਆਂ ਇਸ਼ਕ ਦੀਆਂ ਜੋ ਬਾਤਾਂ ਫਿਰ ਹੱਸ ਕੇ ਲੰਘਣਗੀਆਂ ਹੀਰੀਏ ਲੰਮੀਆਂ ਲੰਮੀਆਂ ਰਾਤਾਂ ਫਿਰ ਲੰਮੀਆਂ ਲੰਮੀਆਂ ਰਾਤਾਂ ਰਮੂਰੇ ਰੱਖਦੀ ਜਾਈ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਹੱਸੇ ਜਾਊ ਮੋਰੀ ਤੇਰੀ ਮੇਰੀ ਲੱਗੂ ਟਿੱਚ ਬਟਣਾ ਦੀ ਜੋੜੀ ਤੇ